By golly, it's smart to mind your manners.
Yes, boys and girls, it's time to mind your manners with Alan Ludden and his panel of typical teenagers. From the studios of WTIC in Hartford, Connecticut, the National Broadcasting Company presents a teenage discussion session for boys and girls from 8 to 18. Adults are invited to sit in on the meeting, too. So gather round, because here he comes, the man who conducts the meeting, that man who makes manners fun, Alan Ludden.
Thank you, Ed Anderson, and hello there, boys and girls. It's time again for another meeting, and we're all set to get right down to business because you have sent us a lot of real teenage problems that should make this a banner session. So the meeting is called to order, and let's start things right off with the introduction of our panel of typical teenagers. Come in, panel.
Betty Ann Kelly, 17 years old, high school graduate.
E.J. Kilday, 17 years old, high school senior.
Vanda Thompson, 18 years old, high school graduate.
Pete Wagner, 17 years old, high school senior.
Fred Smith, 16 years old, high school junior.
And speaking for the boys and girls who have not yet reached the hallowed teenage, today we have our old friend...
Alan Lee, 12 years old, 6th grade.
Well, it's good to see you all again, panel, and I hope you're ready for a real discussion today because your listeners have really been sending in some good problems. The first $5 in savings stamps goes out to a young lady in Davenport, Iowa, for sending us this fine problem.
I have a date just about every weekend, and sometimes my parents double date with us. We have had a lot of fun dancing or going to the movies, and sometimes we have had picnics. What does your panel think of our going out with my parents?
What do you think about this, panel? Let's hear first from Betty Ann Kelly.
Well, there's nothing wrong with double dating with parents. They can be a lot of fun, and if, well, they're youthful enough, then just go right out with them. But I think as a general rule, it isn't too good to, make steady dating with your parents because the boy might feel a little out of place, although he shouldn't, really.
Let's hear from a boy. Fred Smith, what do you think about it?
Well, I agree with Betty Ann. I think that it's all right once in a while if you can go out and have fun, have a real good time, but I don't advise it all the time.
E.J., do you agree?
Well, I think it's fine that the parents are interested and concerned about their children and that they go out with them. But I wouldn't like the girls or even my own parents to go out with us all the time. Spend some time on your own.
Oh, well, now, what about the parents in this matter, Ben? Do you have any instructions or advice for the parents in regard to this problem of dating with their girls,
yes,
daughters? Pardon me.
Excuse me. Yes, I do. It's nice to have your parents go out with you, and it is a lot of fun, but for heaven's sake, parents, don't go out jitterbugging and try to dress like your children do, or I should say teenagers, young teenagers do, and try to act younger. Act your own age, and you can still have a lot of fun.
Fine. Well, now, Ellen Lee, what do you think about it? You're 12 years old. When you start dating, would you like to go out with your parents? You think you might have fun?
Well, sometimes you might, but I wouldn't like them to make a habit of it. And I don't think the parents should go out with the children just to spy on them.
Oh, no. Well, we don't think that's at all the case. Pete, what do you think about it? Would you like to go out with a girl who has some very fun parents, interesting people, and say you go out dancing, you go to the movies, or to a picnic? Do you think a boy can have fun with a girl if he's out with her parents?
Sure they can. He could have a swell time with her parents, as the rest of the panel have said, but I'd like to put in my vote not to carry it too far. But I'd like to say a word to the boys that really don't think that it's the right thing to do to go out with the girl's parents. It's all right, and you're missing a lot of fun sometimes if your girlfriend has nice parents, and you can have fun with them.
Sure, parents aren't so bad. They're very nice people sometimes, and sometimes they can be a lot of fun, and I'm glad we got around to this subject. Incidentally, we've always talked about it here in this meeting, that it's fun to have fellowship in the family, and certainly this is one way you can encourage it. Now, you know, before we go on to our second discussion, I'd like to invite all you boys and girls who are with us today to drop us a note and let us know that you've joined our meeting. Believe me, we're very interested in hearing from you and knowing what your problems are. And if you write to us, we'll be able to talk about the things that interest you the most, and that's the whole idea of our program. Now, let's get on to the second question that was selected for discussion. It was sent in to us by Jack Hollis in Funyac Springs, Florida. And here is what Jack asks.
My problem is that I like a girl that is much older than I am. I'm 14 and she is 17. You think I should go with someone else, although I really like this older girl better than any other?
All right, Pete, what do you say to this boy?
I think it's perfectly all right to go out with her. Age makes no difference in dating, is my opinion. I think if you can go out with her without getting an inferiority complex, and you feel at ease when you go out with her or her friends, by all means, go out.
All right, let's hear from E.J. Kilday.
Well, I should say that it's all right to go out with this girl if she appreciates your company, but don't get too serious. So there's going to be an awful lot of more girls in your life in your own age category. So why not start looking for them now?
All right, Fred Smith, what's your vote?
I think that the personality, maturity, and poise of the couple is a great deal more important than the actual age.
Fine. There's a lot more to this business of having fun than just worrying about how many years. And you mentioned that word poise. Betty Ann, What is this business of poise? What do you think about it? What do you think that the poise enters into this question of the boy going with a 17-year-old girl, a 14-year-old
boy? Well, certainly does, because he shouldn't make a problem out of it and just take things as they come. And, well, as E.J. said, I believe, if the girl's content, just go out with her and have fun. But as a rule, I don't approve of younger boys going out with older girls because girls are, well, they're more settled at a younger age, and I don't see how they can have too much fun together.
Well, Vanda, do you agree?
No, boys can be older than their age.
Then they can be. I'm glad to hear that.
The girl may be a little younger than her age, and we can get along very nicely together.
Fine. But in other words, we've said before, and let's say it again, Ellen Lee, our idea for teenagers and for boys and girls 12 years old and 10 years old playing together, having fun, is not to worry about things, to have fun. Is that what we said before?
That's right.
Okay, I'm glad to bring you in on that, Ellen Lee. You know, last week, we turned our adult discussion question, period, over to our senior panel members to discuss what graduation in 1948 means to them. In the meantime, Betty Ann and Vanda have graduated, and they are now full-fledged graduates. But Pete and EJ still have the big day ahead of them, and I think we'd better start our discussion off today with their ideas. So, Pete, how about picking up that discussion where we left it last week and letting us hear your ideas on what it means to graduate?
Well, Mr. Ludden, a lot of people, I find, look at graduation as the end of a period for preparation for their life's work. I don't go along with these people. Commencement to me means just a second step in my road to education, my first step being graduation from eighth grade, my next step being graduation from college, and when my final step comes, I don't know, probably never.
Well, in other words, you're always going to keep preparing, but this is just a step on the ladder. Well, now, E.J., how do you feel about it? Do you think that high school means graduation from high school simply means that you move on to the next step, or is there really a break there?
Well, I think there is a break. My graduation is my realization of my going out and face the wide and wicked world, as they say. Then, too, it's the seriousness of high school. Why, if you talked on this subject for 8 days, you couldn't make a student realize how important this education is.
You know, E.J., it sounds like to me you're talking not to the graduates so much as to the boys and girls who are still in high school. Is that right?
I am. I'd really like to impress on some students the importance of this education.
Would you like to have had somebody impress it on you about 3 years ago?
I certainly would have, but I doubt if it would have made much difference because a student has to realize it for himself and really learn from experience.
But as you graduate from high school, all of a sudden you realize then, as I'm summing up what you said, that high school is a pretty important phase in your life, and you wish a little bit, I think, that you'd made more of it. Is that it?
That's right. I would have liked to improve my marks a great deal.
All right. Now, Betty Ann, you've graduated. How does it feel to be out in this wide, wicked world, as E.J. said?
Oh, it doesn't seem very wicked.
Well, that's fine. Yes. We're glad to have you out here, believe me. Well, what do you think about it, though? Do you feel any different now that you're out of school, formal education and such?
No, I don't feel a bit different. Only, well, I'd like to say something about these people who say we're going out to, well, a wicked world, and that we're going to have so many tough times ahead of us. I think that every graduating class feels the same way, that they just have the greatest problems in the world facing them. But no matter what you do or no matter what condition the world is in, I think you can always reach a certain personal satisfaction and a personal happiness that will make everything all right for you.
Fine, Vanda, I see you nod. Do you agree with Betty Ann?
Well, yes, in a way, but she says it doesn't mean too much to her. Well, it means an awful lot to me. I feel so wonderful. Well, actually, I'm out of school now, and I'm on my own. It makes a lot of difference.
Fine. You see, everybody has different ideas, and you know, next week we're going to talk about the letters we've had from our listeners in regard to this problem of graduating from high school in 1948. So, if you're a new graduate, how about dropping us a note and telling us what this milestone means in your life? You never can tell. Maybe the idea you send us and that we pass on to other boys and girls will be just the thought that will help some teenager who is in doubt. And this discussion subject does not exclude the adults. We are most anxious to hear from you too, believe me, and to hear your experiences in regard to the significance of high school graduation. So this is actually a direct appeal to you to send us your ideas. From them, we will create our discussion next week. Now, panel, let's get on along with our third prize-winning question. It came to us from Edith Rickard in Brandywine, Maryland. And for it, Edith will receive $5 in savings stamps. Here it is.
I have had 1 year of typing in shorthand. I would like very much to apply for a job this summer, but I don't know how. Could you tell me where to go to apply for a job and what to do? How does one make a good impression?
Well, now, here's a good question to follow up this discussion of getting out in the wide and wicked world. Let's talk about applying for a job. What do you think about it, Fred Smith?
Well, a well-groomed person, one who is very neat and one who is very polite and has the correct attitude toward the job. They are eager to get along and make the best of it, will always succeed.
In other words, you think that's one of the things to do when you're going to apply for a job. Let's get this down to categories. We're going to talk about where to go, what to do, and how to make a good impression. Now, I think Fred kind of covered a lot of those facets. Vanda, what do you think about it? You actually are in the business world now. What about this business of applying for a job?
Oh, it's very important. I mean, I think one of the most important things is if you like your job, what you're going to go into, don't just say, well, I don't care. It's just a job for the summer. I don't know if I'll like it or not. Go to a job that you think you're going to like, and then go on from there.
May I interrupt, Vanda? You mean then that when you apply for a job, be sure to create the impression that you are eager to have the job, that it's not just another job, but that's the job you want.
That's right.
Fine. You know, I talked to a head of a personnel department about this question, and he said that appearance and attitude are the two things which are the most important things for personnel officers to investigate as they talk to applicants. Now, let's talk about this business of appearance. Betty Ann, how do you create a favorable impression from your appearance?
Well, I think employers notice the tiniest things. They notice your fingernails and your makeup, and whether, well, for a girl, she's overdressed and she looks her age, and if she's dressed for office work, and then, well, she notices if your seams are straight, and, well, just how neat you are, and a boy, if his tie is straight, and things like that.
How do you create an impression of being neat, E.J.?
Well, remember to keep that hair well-groomed, your shirt neat and clean. That tie always as tight as you can get it. Where's my tie, mine?
And, all right.
Remember to have those shoes shined, pants creased, and everything like that really helps to make up your character.
All right, one more word. Pete, what do you have to say?
Well, don't forget the part of the question where she asked where to go. My suggestions are to either go to the USES, the United States Employment Service, or private employment agencies, or you can consult guidance instructors in the high school. They have long lists of possible occupations. Or go to personnel departments of large organizations.
Fine.
And talk to them.
That's good. Personnel officers, we've talked about this question. Perhaps we'll talk about it some more, and we certainly hope that Edith Brickard has a profitable summer. And now it's the audience's turn. So how about it, audience? Are you ready for your right-wrong quiz?
Yeah!
Okay, get on your toes, because Eddie Robbins is going to read five statements about manners. Those statements could be right, or they could be very wrong, and it's up to you to decide which one they are. Ed Anderson is out there with his portable microphone, and he will pick one of you to speak up for the audience. If you tell us correctly whether the question is right or wrong, the audience gets 20 points. You see, it's just like a school quiz so far, but there's a difference. Whether you get it right or wrong, you get a prize. You see, it's fun for everybody, so get set, because here is your first right-wrong statement.
Boys and girls are not expected to watch their behavior in public as much as adults. It's all right for them to be lively and to make more noise than grown-ups.
What do you think about that? Is that right or wrong? Let's hear from a young...
Here's a young lady down
young
here.
Lady.
She'll just
right
step up to the mic.
At the end of the aisle, let's hear from her.
Wrong.
That's wrong. Now, you think boys and girls should watch their behavior in public?
Yeah.
That's 20 points. What's your name?
Betty Ann Traddick.
Betty Ann? That's fine. Incidentally, what do you think about boys and girls running down a busy downtown street?
No.
No, they should walk just like the adults. They should be careful of their behavior in public. Fine. 20 points for the audience, a little prize for you. Second question.
Girls who chatter when dancing are much more interesting partners than girls who don't talk as much.
Girls who chatter when dancing. What about that? Let's talk to a boy about this.
No.
No, that's wrong. You like a girl who chatters when she dances?
No.
No. A girl who just makes a pleasant conversation is all right. What's your name, incidentally?
Melvin Miller.
What?
Melvin Miller.
Melvin, you get 20 more points to the audience. That's 40 altogether. Here's a little gift for you, and thank you very much.
Boys are expected to get out of cars and buses first and to help the girls out after them.
Oh, everybody's got the hand up. Let's see now. What do you think?
Yes.
That's right. That's 60 points. What's your name?
Phyllis Seaman.
Phyllis, when the boys get out of a bus, they should get out first, right?
Yes, and help the girl out.
Help the girl out. Fine. That's 20 points more for the audience, 60 altogether, and a little gift for you, Phyllis. Thank you a lot.
If soup is served in a cup with handles, it is perfectly proper to pick it up and drink the soup from the cup.
If soup is served in cup with handles, it's all right to drink it. What do you think about that, young man?
That's wrong.
No, do you know what? That's right. It's perfectly all right to drink soup when it's not too hot, particularly the thin kind, the bouillon, the kind you can see through, when it's served in a cup with handles. You missed that, but we've got a little gift for you. Incidentally, though, you can tell me this. Is it right to make noise when you drink soup from a cup?
No,
that's right. You shouldn't make any noise, but it's all right to drink soup from a cup if there are handles provided, all right? 60 points for the audience, and our last one. Let's see how you're doing this.
It is better for girls to wear no fingernail polish than to wear polish that is chipped.
All right, let's hear from a girl on this, Ed. Here's a young lady. What do you think?
Girls should wear no polish if it is nice.
Fine. In other words, you think that statement is right?
Yes.
That's right. The audience gets 80 points. What's your name?
Suzanne Empser.
Suzanne, do you wear fingernail polish?
No.
But when you do, you're going to wear it either properly put on or not at all, right?
Yes.
Fine, that's part of grooming. Thank you a lot. And that winds up our audience quiz for today. The final score was 80 points, and I hope everybody had a good time. I certainly did. Every one of you is invited to come back again next week, and we'll have another right-wrong quiz for you. So don't go away right now, though, because we've got a lot more to talk about, And speaking of something to talk about, here is Ed Anderson with the rules to our Mind Your Manners contest. Ed, the floor is yours.
Thank you, Alan. Well, boys and girls, Mind Your Manners is your show. And we talk about your problems each week at our meetings. Our panel of typical teenagers is anxious to tackle any subject that interests boys and girls from 8 to 18, and we depend on you to send us your questions or problems. And if you do, you may win one of our fine prizes. Each week, we award a $25 security bond to the writer of the best stated and most interesting question. And for the five other questions selected for discussion, Mind Your Manners will send the writers $5 in savings stamps. All entries become the property of this program. In case of ties, duplicate prizes will be awarded. The decision of the judges is final. Contest closes at midnight on Wednesdays, and entries received after that date will be considered for the following week's contest. Send all entries to this address. Mind Your Manners, Department 4, National Broadcasting Company, Radio City, New York City. So, boys and girls, send your problems in today, right after the meeting.
Well, we'll be looking for your letters and cards, boys and girls. Right now, let's see who won $5 in saving stamps for sending us our fourth question. It came from a very fine young lady who lives in Leavenworth, Kansas, and this is what she asked you, panel.
I have a very dear aunt who not only makes my clothes, but selects the materials and the patterns. She means well, but everything she makes is too old for me. I want some suntan dresses, slacks, and shorts. But she doesn't approve of them. I'm at a loss to know how to tell my aunt without hurting her feelings.
All right, let's hear first from Ellen Lee. What do you think about this, Ellen Lee?
Well, she could make some of the clothes that she likes and wear them and to show the aunt that it's perfectly all right, and sometimes it's a little better to wear clothes your own age than to wear clothes too old for you.
All right, let's hear from Betty Ann Kelly.
Well, perhaps the girl could impress upon her family, her mother and father, that, well, she just doesn't like these clothes, and they could talk to the aunt. And then, well, I think maybe she'd realize that the clothes she's making are too old, and although she might not try sundresses, she could at least try regular teenage street dresses.
Fine, Vanda.
And this is where tact comes in. You can't just go and tell the aunt that, well, I don't want these clothes, they're too old for me. The parents are going to have to do it in such a way that it's not going to hurt her feelings.
I see. Well, let's talk about tact. What do you think about tact, Fred Smith? Do you think that's an important thing for teenagers to master?
I certainly do. I think it's a very important thing. And in regard to this question, one way which she might show the aunt what kind of clothes she likes was possibly through patterns or pictures in fashion magazines.
All right, and illustrate what she has in mind, and maybe the aunt will find it to be a very attractive style. Yeah, you got something else to...
Yes. She says that the aunt is making clothes too old for her and so forth. Well, possibly the aunt thinks that she is doing what she wants, and those are the kind of clothes she likes. Perhaps she doesn't even know it, so it would be a good idea to tell her.
Fine, but tell her tactfully so she doesn't hurt her feelings. Incidentally, E.J., do you think that tact is a thing a boy or girl can start to learn when he's, say, Ellen Lee's age or younger than that? What is it? How would you define tact? I've got you on a spot.
Spot? That's worse than a spot. Tact is the right way of handling a situation very subtly. It's the proper way of doing a thing or getting out of a very bad spot like I'm in now.
Well, E.J., do you think it has something to do? It's part of poise, which is another thing we talk about a lot.
Yes, Mr. Ludden, that is one of the most, one of the main phrases in voice.
All right, you did very well. I think you were very tactful. You were very tactful. E.J., I would never have known that you weren't quite sure what the answer to that question was. That was very tactful of you. We'd like to talk about this problem again some other time. Maybe we'll get some more questions on it. Incidentally, if you missed our address a while ago when Ed Anderson gave it to you, I'd like to suggest right now that you get a pencil and paper ready, because Pete's going to give you our address again at the close of the meeting. Right now, though, we move along to our fifth question, which was sent in to us by a young Boy Scout who lives in Morristown, Tennessee. And for it, this young man receives $5 in savings stamps, and here is his question.
Our scoutmaster's wife died, and I want to take up a collection in our scout troop to send flowers to her. One of my friends said that it would just make our scoutmaster feel worse. What do you think? Should we send flowers or not?
All right, Ellen Lee, what do you think?
Well, they should send the flowers, and don't be afraid to show your sympathy, and go ahead and send them.
All right, go ahead and send the flowers. You vote for that. What do you think about it, Vanda?
Well, it's the attitude of the sympathy. It has to be expressed sincerely. And you might write him a note, because maybe you knew his wife, and you could tell how much she meant and how much fun you used to have with her and things like that. That really would hit home with your scoutmaster.
All right, now let's talk about this problem of being embarrassed to display a sincere expression of emotion like this. Here is an occasion where a young boy feels a real sympathetic sympathy for his scoutmaster who has had a tragic incident in his life. Shouldn't boys and girls and adults all feel secure in the knowledge that the person who has suffered such a tragedy is glad and appreciates any sincere expression? How would you write such a note, Betty Ann? What would you say in a note like that?
Well, Vanda sort of brought out the points you could mention, but say that, well, perhaps you had known the woman and say that you'll miss her and that it's been a great loss to him and to everyone, but, and that at this moment you'd like to express your deep sympathy and your sorrow, too, at her death.
Fine. In other words, to say simply and straightforward, in a straightforward manner, how you feel about a thing like that is never bad. It's always good, and it's part, again, of poise. And now you know what we do. We move around to the high point of the meeting, the grand prize question of the week. Now, here is the question that was judged the best stated and most interesting of all those submitted this week. And for sending us this problem, a young lady in Rockport, Indiana, receives a $25 security bond. Panel, your very best attention is invited now to this young lady's problem, the grand prize question of the week.
I am a high school graduate, 17 years of age. I date quite often, and some of the boys I go with drink occasionally. This is my problem. I do not approve of drinking, and I've asked my dates not to drink when they are out with me. Do you think that it shows a lack of respect for the girl if a boy drinks on a date with her? Do you think I am right in telling them how I feel about it?
Panel, here is a real serious teenage problem, and I'd like to begin to tackle it. I'm sure we can't solve it today, but let's hear first from Betty Ann Kelly.
Well, I think the boy does show a lack of respect for the girl if she makes it known that she doesn't approve of drinking and he goes right ahead. But it is her duty to tell him how she feels, and if she doesn't know him too well when they're out, if he starts to drink, make it known that if he does drink this time, it'll be the last time she'll go out with him. And the girl always sets the standard of how a boy acts on a date anyway, so she has the greatest say about it.
In other words, the activities of the behavior of the boy is more or less follows the behavior of the girl.
That's
is that right?
Right?
Well, that's a very straightforward admission of responsibilities for young ladies. Let's hear from Vanda Thompson. What do you think?
Well, a gentleman regards the feelings of others, and especially his date for the evening. And these boys have failed to consider the feelings of the girls. And I think if the girl knows that they drink, she shouldn't go out with them. And she says she dates quite often, so why not date with somebody else?
In other words, just not go out with a boy who drinks. But what if she likes a boy who drinks, but she doesn't want to? She doesn't want him to drink with her. Her problem is not to change his whole attitude about a problem such as drinking. We won't get into the right and wrong of drinking, which certainly has its arguments. But let's get into this attitude of the girl. Should she? You agree she should make her wishes known, right?
That's right.
Well, Pete, now what do you think about boys in a matter like this?
Well, I think if the boy does drink, he should do it in at his own time. If the girl doesn't approve of it, of course, if the girl drinks herself or doesn't feel embarrassed or self-conscious if the boy drinks, is perfectly all right. But in this case, I agree with the rest of the panel that the girl should tell the boy definitely just how she feels about it, and that if he can't show enough respect to obey her wishes and consider her feelings, then the girl shouldn't go out with him anymore.
And that boy certainly then is not a gentleman. We're getting down to basic principles here of good manners. A gentleman does not offend his company in any case. And in this case, he offends the girl if he drinks, and so he is not a gentleman if he does. Therefore, boys and girls, remember that the basic principle of good manners is to remember the feelings of others and to respect their wishes. Now let's open up today's answer box, because we find the answers to some good questions that were sent in, but they were not selected for discussion here with our panel. Today's first question comes
from an 11-year-old girl in Kansas City. I like my hair and loose curls on my neck, but my mother wants me to wear it in tight curls. I think it looks silly that way. What do you think?
Well, we think that little girls should be proud of the opportunity to wear their hair in little girl styles. We also think that mother knows best, so wear your hair the way your mother likes it for a few years anyway, and be happy about it.
From boys and girls in Alabama, Louisiana, Kentucky, Maryland, Iowa, Michigan, Texas, Florida, and lots of other places in the United States, this message: congratulations and best wishes for future success to Betty Ann, Vanda, Pete, and EJ. Mind Your Manners listeners are proud of these senior panel members who have successfully completed their high school education, and they all send their heartiest congratulations.
And to these best wishes from our listeners, I would like to add my personal congratulations to you, Betty Ann, Vanda, EJ, and Pete. You made so many friends through your fine comments and discussions here at our weekly meetings, and those friends have asked that you stay on the panel even though you are now high school graduates. So you're all invited to remain with us all through the summer, and I'm sure we'll have many interesting meetings ahead of us.
Thank you. Speaking for all of us seniors, I would like to thank our listeners for their many cards and letters about our graduation. It has made us very happy and proud to know that you thought of us.
Well, thank you, Betty Ann. And now, while we're about this business of congratulations, let's send a great big congratulatory wish to all high school seniors all over the country.
Congratulations!
Fine. And there it goes. We're all sending wishes all across the country to all the high school graduates. The top just popped back on our answer box, and it's about time to adjourn today's meeting. But before we do, let's hear from our panel members, graduates and seniors and sophomores and freshmen and our sixth grade members one more time.
This is E.J. Kilday. We're counting on you new high school graduates to send us ideas for our discussion at the next meeting. You see, we on the panel know that all of you have been thinking about the problem of graduation from high school. And we would like to make this a discussion worthwhile in our next meeting next week. So won't you drop us a line and tell us how you feel about it?
This is Betty Ann Kelly. I'd like to urge the adults, too, to join this discussion of the meaning of graduation from high school. We are most anxious to hear from you.
This is Fred Smith reminding you to be sure to give us your full name and address when you write.
This is Ellen Lee asking the boys and girls younger than teenage to send us their problems.
This is Vanda Thompson reminding you that Mind Your Manners is for all boys and girls from 8 to 18.
And this is Pete Wagner with our address again. All set? Okay, here it is. Mind Your Manners, Department 4, National Broadcasting Company, Radio City, New York 20, New York.
Thank you, panel. It was a banner meeting, and we'll be looking for you at the next meeting next week. Remember, boys and girls, I'll be calling Mind Your Manners to order then, and everyone is invited to join us. Have a good week and drop us a line, won't you? This is Alan Ludden saying goodbye now.
Boys and girls, if you have a problem about social behavior, either at home, at school, or at parties, send it in to Mind Your Manners. You may win one of those six prizes. Remember, the best question receives a $25 security bond. Mind Your Manners is written and conducted by that man who makes manners fun, Alan Ludden. He'll be back with his panel of typical teenagers next week at the same time. This is Ed Anderson saying we hope to see you then, and in the meantime, remember...
By golly, it is smart to mind your manners.
Mind Your Manners has come to you from the studios of WTIC in Hartford, Connecticut. This is NBC, the National Broadcasting Company.